All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. A thank you to Yehuda for giving the shiur yesterday. Today's daf is Kuf Lamed Aleph 131, and we are picking up on the top of the daf, second line down. Last word on the second line. Tashma. So we'll say, so just remember again today, well not just remember, today we're going to be focusing almost exclusively on a statement of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda made a statement on Kuf Lamed Amud Beis 130b, where he explained as follows, that if a person goes ahead and damages Matnos Kuhuna, or you eat Matnos Kuhuna, or as we'll say, let's say again, I eat Matnos Kuhuna, or I damage it. So Rav Chisda suggested that Halacha L'maisa, one is not obligated to pay restitution for those damages. The Gemara entertained two possibilities, either because the Pasuk says the word Zeh, that you're only chayiv to go in and give Matnos Kuhuna when they are in existence, but if they're not in existence, then there is no obligation, or because it's what we call Mamon She'in Lo Tovim, that it is money which has no claimants. Since at the end of the day, again, although it's supposed to be an interesting idea, although of course it is a portion that is due to the Kohanim, no, bless you, no particular Kohen could go ahead and claim that it solely belongs to him. Therefore, because of that, if one damages it, there is no restitution. Says the Gemara. So we're going to challenge Rav Chisda. No, we already started to challenge Rav Chisda yesterday. We're going to try to challenge him a couple of more times. So Tashma, Hare She'ansu Beis HaMelech Grano. Interesting case. Let's say the king comes along and takes my produce from my threshing floor. So the Gemara says, Im Bechovo, if the king sees it to satisfy my debts, meaning let's say I owe taxes, and so the king sends a tax collector to go ahead and take my stuff, then chayiv la'aser. Then ultimately, again, I am chayiv still to give ma'aser. Because supposedly at the end of the day, halacha l'maaseh, I owed that money, the king collected his debt. The fact that the king collected his debt doesn't prevent me from, or doesn't exempt me from separating out trumas from ma'aser, excuse me, from other produce. V'im ba'amporas, however, again, if this was just some type of unlawful seizure, if you look at Rashi, ba'amporas, behefsed va'alchinam. So let's say the king just seized my money because it's good to be king, right? So he just took my stuff. So then pater mila aser. Ultimately, in that context, I'm pater from going ahead and separating out any further trumas in my system. We'll say, what's the logic there? Take a look at Rashi. V'im ba'amporas, behefsed va'alchinam pater mila aser. Katan mihas, im b'choyo chayiv la'aser, alma yesh lo tovin, di'ilav dino hu shi'ishalim lo al-karcho, ma'chiv mitzvika halo pashka be'midis. So let's listen to this. So interestingly enough, the focus is really on the first case here. We see that if the king ended up seizing my property as a result of satisfaction of outstanding debt, I am still obligated to go ahead and pay my trumas and maestros. So you see from here that what? That even if something happened ultimately to my produce, I am still chayiv to go ahead and make good to the kohen. So this seems to contradict what Rav Chisda said before. Shani hasam, this is different. Why? To come ashtar shilei, because at the end of the day, halacha lamaisa, I am still benefiting, so to speak, from the seizure. Why am I benefiting from it? Because here the king will satisfy his debts from this property, but ultimately, again, it frees up the use of other properties. Look at Rashi, Shiny Hosam, the Kamishtar Shile, Hosam Lav Bo Tzaba Dayan and Tzanan, Elo, Chiyuva Ba'alma, Kishar Chiyuva Maestros, Vichiyuva Vada Ikale, the Mishtar Shile Kilomar, Mistaker Huba, Shari Hayotarach Lefroamos. Because we'll say at the end of the day, this is not considered to be a loss. If the king seizes this produce in satisfaction of my debts, I had to pay the debt regardless. The king seized it from here. Just because I paid my debt from the threshing floor does not exempt me from paying the kohen his due. Fine. Tashma. What's another contradiction of Chisda? Amrlo. Macharli b'nei me'ah shel para. So let's say if I go over to the butcher and I tell the butcher, sell me the b'nei me'ah, means like the insides of this cow. V'haya b'hen matnos kuhuna. And included in the purchase are the portions that normally go to the kohen. What's the halacha? No stin l'kohen ve'eino menachal lo min adamim. So ultimately, again, I go ahead and so I purchase the insides of the animal. I have to give the kohen his due, and I don't have a right to go ahead and deduct anything from the purchase price. So I pay for what I bought, but I have to give the kohen his portion. Lakach hemen of mishkal. If conversely I go ahead and what? I purchase the insides of the animal from the butcher, but I purchase it by weight. purchase it by weight, then what's the halacha? Nosnan lakoin umenachel lo min adamim. I go ahead and I give the coin his portion, and but I detract it off the purchase price. Why is that? So we take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lokach imenu b'mishkol halitra kach v'kach v'shakal lo akeba nosan lokeach lakoin sharia gezel etzlo b'tzarach loshiv." So the Gemara says, "Amai, why is this? Have amai lehavi kimazik matnos kuna osha achlan." I don't understand. Why should I be obligated to go ahead and give it after all? Why should this be different, or why should this just not be? Why should this not be considered to be a case of where I'm damaging matnos kuna or I ate them? And if Rav Chista is correct, that I should not be chayiv ultimately again to pay this to the kohen. Shiny hasam. This case is different. Why? The istnu beinayu. Because we'll say the matnos kuna are still in existence. Even Rav Chista, who says that technically speaking, if you damage the matnos kuna or you destroy the matnos kuna, there is no longer any type of liability. That's only if the matnos kuna do not exist. But if they actually are in existence, then of course even Rav Chista would agree that halacha lamais, you have to pay them. Good. Tashma. So you go back there. Tisha nichsei koin. I will say there are 9 things which are considered to be the property of the koin. So what are they? Truma. So I'll say truma is truma. Chumas Meiser. So Chumas Meiser, remember again, is the portion ultimately again that is separated from the Kohen, or separated from the Levi's portion that is given to the Kohen. Chala, portion of the dough. Reishis Hagaz, the first of the shearings. Umatanos. So we'll say Matanos in general, remember again, refers to the Zroa, the Lechaim, the Keva, right? The foreleg, right, the stomach, good. So matanos, demai. So we'll see, interestingly enough, demai, remember again, means produce where we have a suffix if it was properly tithed or not. So remember, because there's a suffix, we give it to the coin. That's one of the matanos kuna. Bikurim, first fruits, keren and chomesh. So we'll see, we're going to discuss these cases of keren and chomesh, where one goes ahead and accidentally goes ahead and consumes certain kohanic portions as an obligation to go ahead and repay the principal plus a penalty fifth. So the Gemara says, Lamai, what is it when we say that these are the property of the coin? So we're saying when all this, when we say these are the nichse coin, that's what we're focusing on over here. This lashon of nichse coin. So what does that mean when we say nichse coin? What's the ramification of that statement? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Lamai, lav lo tzion bidayonin. Rabosai, does that not mean that the coin literally has the ability to go ahead and extract this money? In other words, that if a coin, let's say again, that if the Israel is in possession of any of these items, that the coin could take him to Beis Din and actually extract the money with Dayanim, which Rabosai tells me that what? Tells me that halacha lemaisa, this is not mamon she'in latovin, that a coin literally, this is not money that has no claimants. A coin literally has a right to claim this. Again, in contradiction to Rav Chista, to which the Gemara says, "Lo, no, that's not what it means. Rather, lechidisnan. Rather, when we say it's nichse coin, what we mean it is for the following ramifications. Lama amru nichse coin. Ultimately, why do we say? What does it mean when we say that this portion is a portion of the coin? Shekona bahen avodim vikarkos ubehematmeya. We'll say what it means is as follows. What it means is that once it comes into the possession of the coin, it becomes the property of the coin to the point that he could mamish use it for whatever he wants. He could go ahead and sell these items and use it to go ahead and purchase avadim, karkos, land, behematmea, even non-kosher animals. Balchov, notlan, becholvo. If the coin owes money to someone else, someone could seize these items in satisfaction of the debt. V'insha b'ksuvasa. He could use it to secure the ksuva of his wife. V'sefer Torah. And ultimately, he could use it to purchase a sefer Torah. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. You see, we thought that when the Gemara said that these 9 items are the nichse coin, we thought that meant that the Kohen has an entitlement to it to the point that he would have the legal right to go and seize it from the Yisrael. So he brought this up then as a contradiction to Rav Chista, because Rav Chista said, remember again, Rav Chista said, if you damage matnos kuna, you are not chayev to make restitution. We're not sure about the reason for that, but one of the possibilities is because it's mamon she'in lo tovin. It's money which does not have a claimant. This statement then would contradict that statement of Rav Chista, to which the Gemara says it's not a contradiction. When it says nichse koin, it doesn't mean that the koin has the right to go to the Yisrael and say, hey, give me my matnos kuhuna. Rather, what it means is that once the matnos kuna come into the possession of the kohen, they are the kohen's money, meaning that a kohen is permitted to use it for whatever he wants. See, I might have thought that since this is matnos kuna, maybe the kohen has limited use. He can only use it for certain things. Kamash moloni, he can use it for whatever he wants. He can use it for his wife's silva. He can use it to purchase livestock. He can use it to purchase avadim, karkos, whatever he wants. So we'll say, so therefore again, the Gemara still supports Rav Chista's idea that matnos kuna are mamon she'ino lo tovin, is money which has no particular claim. Rav says it's incredibly important, because what this means is as follows. I'm Yisrael. I have matnos kuna sitting in my granary. My kohen friend comes over to me. He says, you owe me. Give me that. That's mine. What can I say to him? What can I say to him? I can say to him, I owe kohanim. I don't necessarily owe you. So I agree, I have to give this to a kohen, but I have the right to choose which kohen I give to. You don't have the right to claim this as your own. So the Gemara goes vaitim. So the Gemara says, holy voy, listen to this case. There was a Levi. Davachatov matnasa. So let's listen to this case. Look at Rashi. It's the first wide line in Rashi. Chatef matnasa. Shokishahayu hatinokos molichin hazra v'alechayim v'akeba l'kohen chotfasam miyadeyem. So we'll say, listen to this. So when their children apparently were taking the Kohanic portions of the animal, they were taking the Zroa, the Lechaim, and the Keva. Right? These are different parts of the animal which go to the Kohen. So this Levi, it's always a Levi, right? This Levi went ahead and took it from the kids. He went ahead and he took the Matnos Kuhuna from the kids. Stole it from the kids. So says the Gemara, so watch this. So asu amru le l'rav. So we'll say, now what's the shayla? The shayla is, what is the Levitic liability? So what is the obligation? Right? What's liability of the Levi? So asu amru le l'rav. Amru lehu lo mistayir de lo shaklinon milei ela michtof nami chatef. So we'll say, Rav said something very interesting. Is it not enough that we don't make a Levi give matnos kuhuna, but now the Levi has to take the matonos from the kohen as well? Look at Rashi. Lo mistaya, lo dai kishu shochet es behemto. Hey, bless you. Ein anu kofin oso lo seis matonos le kohen acher. Ela michtaf na michata. So we'll say, so Rav is saying something very interesting. What Rav is introducing us is the fascinating idea, which is that apparently a Levi is not obligated to separate out matnos kuhuna. So, right, Rav is saying, is it not enough that when this Levi shechts, we don't force him to give zroa, lechayim, and keva? We don't force him to give parts of the animal to the kohen. So it's not enough that we don't force him to give. Now he's actually stealing the portions from the kohen. It doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says like this. So now Rav introduced now this. Now we're going to focus on really. A Levi is not chayiv to give matnos kuhuna from his shechita. When a Levi shechts an animal, he's not chayiv to give zroa lechayim and keva. He's not chayiv ultimately again to give right the chest, the foreleg, and the stomach. He doesn't have an obligation for that. For Rav, so let's analyze this. I ikru am mishkal nami lishkal minayhu. Ilo ikru am rachmona patrayu. So we'll say, so listen to this. So Rav said, so the Gemara says like this, if Levim are called Am, because that's the Lashon of the Pasuk, if the Levim are called Am, then the nation of Israel, then they should be obligated to give matnos kuhuna. If they're not called Am, then what? They should be pater from matnos kuhuna. To which the Gemara says, so misap galuhu I ikru Am, Ilo ikruam. So the truth is, Rav himself ultimately again was mesupak. Are Levium called Am or not? Are Levium included in the general populace of Klal Yisrael, or are they reckoned separately? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, the Rav, my daikei damer lo mistayed lo shaklinar minei, demashmo shayinu yicholim lekofo lekach benim non aru. I ikruam lishkominei. So it's actually very interesting. So Rav makes it sound like you know, is it not enough for the Levim that we don't take matanos from them, but now they also go and steal the matanos going to the Kohanim? So Rav makes it sound like we're doing a favor for the Levim that we don't take matanos from their animals. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Either Levim are chayiv to give matanos, or they're not chayiv to give matanos. Why does Rav make it sound like we're doing a favor to the Levim? To which the Gemara says, because Rav is actually not sure categorically where Levim fit in. Are Levim part of quote-unquote Am, or something separate from Am? So because we are Mesupak, because we are unsure, if ultimately, again, the Levim are part of Am or not part of Am, therefore what? Misafek, we do not take Matnos Kahuna from them. So what Rav was saying was, it's not enough the Levim benefit, because Misafek, we're not making them separate Matnos Kahuna from their animal. But that this Levi has to go and take the portions that were separated for the Kohen, Yosef Rav Papa. So Rav Papa goes, so this I want to point out. So this is actually very important. So this is the Shita of Rav. The Shita of Rav is that there's a Safek concerning the Levim, whether or not they are considered to be Am or not. Right? Are they included in this general statement of Am or not? Again, if you're included in Am, you're obligated to separate Matnos Kahuna. If you're not included in Am, you're not obligated to separate Matnos Kahuna. Rav apparently was Mesupak, right? He was in doubt. Are Levim part of Am, not part of Am? And Misafek, we did not make the Levim separate out Matnos Kahuna. Okay, that's the position of Rav. So here we go. Yosef Rav Papa, v'ka'amar lalo hashmaito. So we'll say Rav Papa was going ahead, and he was saying over this particular halacha. Look at Rashi, lo hashmaito, d'rav misafkile. The Rav will say that Rav was mesupak, whether or not Levim are included in this Am or not. Eisvei Rav Idi bar Avin l'Rav Papa. So Rav Idi bar Avin raised the kashon Rav Papa. Arba matanos aniyim shebekerem. So we'll say there are four matnos aniyim. There are four portions that are given to the pauper that ultimately, again, deal with the vineyard. What are they? Haperet va'ololos va'shichcha va'peah. So we'll say we're going to discuss what all of these items mean. So ololos means if you leave underdeveloped grapes, you leave on the vine for the pauper. That's ololos. Peret, Rabbi Yosef, we're going to see, actually Rashi and Amud Beis talks about Peret, is Anavim Hanoshim B'Shas B'Tzira. It's the grapes that fall down, ultimately, again, during the time of the harvest. So that's Peret, Olos, Shichacha, and Peah. So we'll say those are, so Shichacha, remember again, also refers to clusters that are left behind. Peah refers to leaving a corner. So these are four Matnos Anim that apply to the vineyard. The Shalosh Shebetvoah, and Rabbi said there are three matnos aniyim, three portions for the poor, which apply to my grain. What are they? Leket, Shechacha, and Peah. So I'll say ultimately again, Leket, Shechacha, and Peah. So right? So Leket referring to individual stalks that are left behind, Shechacha referring to bundles, Peah referring to the corner that I leave behind in the field. Shnayim Shebi'ilon. There are two matnos aniyim that apply ultimately again to trees, and those are shichacha and peah. Kulon ein bahen tavas hana lebailim. And I will say, this is actually very interesting. All of these items, there's no tavas hana. I will say, tavas hana means like this, that although there are certain portions that I am obligated to give, tavas hana means I would have a choice as to give them to. So for example, when it comes to portions that I give to Kohanim and Levim, I, a Yisrael owner, have Tovas Hana. Tovas Hana means I can choose who I give it to. So if a Kohen or a Levi shows up at my house and demands that I give him the Kohanic portion, the Levitic portion, I can say, no, I'm not giving it to you. I happen to have a cousin who's a Kohen. I want to give it to him. I have a cousin who's a Levi. I want to give it to him. That's Tovas Hana. When it comes to Matnos Aniyim, when it comes to gifts to the poor, there is no Tovas Hana. Rather, again, any Ani who shows up at my door has the right to seize it. Va'afilu ani shebi yisamotzim yado. I will say, but actually very interesting, the halacha is that aniyim are also obligated to give these portions. An ani who has a field, or an ani who has trees, or an ani who has a vineyard, we go ahead and we extract these matanos from the ani as well. Okay, Meiser Ani Hameschalik Besok Beso. The Rebbe say ultimately again Meiser Ani, which is literally again the actual Meiser that in the years that we separate Meiser Ani, Yesh Bo Tavas Hanal Lebailim. Ultimately, the Rebbe say by Meiser Ani that I have the right to go ahead and decide who I'm going to give it to. Vafi Ani should be Yisrael Motzi and Oso Miado. The Rebbe say even an Ani has to give Meiser Ani. Ushar matnos kuna, but all of the other Kohanic portions, kigon, hazroa, valichayim, vakeva, so I'll say all the other Kohanic portions, zroa, lechayim, keva, ein motzien oso miado, lomi koin le koin, velomi levi le levi. So I'll say it's very interesting. All other matnos kuna, we do not go ahead and extract them from one koin to another koin, or nor from one levi to another levi. Arba, Matanos Shebekerem. So I'll say now we're going to analyze the Brice a little bit. The four different matanos that apply to the vineyard, what are they? Haperet va'ololos ha'shichoha va'peya. So I'll say these are the four portions that ultimately apply in a vineyard. Peret and ololos, which as we said before, so ololos, Rabbi Osai, is underdeveloped grapes. Peret, we're going to see again on Amud Beis and Rashi, means anavim hanoshim b'shas b'tzira, the grapes, which fall down at the time of the harvest. So, refers to the shichacha, that which is forgotten in the vineyard ultimately again cannot be collected but is left behind. Peya, so the Gemara says Peya, Gomer Acharecha Acharecha Mizayis. I don't know if there's a din of Peya, Bosai, because there is Shava of Acharecha Acharecha from Zayis, from Olives, Dixiv, Kisach Bot Zeisecha, Lo Sefar Acharecha. Says Bosai, when you go ahead and you collect your olives, Lo Sefar Acharecha, you shall have Bosai, the Torah used lotion of Sefar Acharecha, Vitarad Rebbe Shmuel, Shalotito Sif Arto Mimenu. Ultimately, again, you should not take the Seferes from it. You should say, ultimately, again, we mean the first two Peah. The first of Peah, Shlosha Shebetvua. We'll say there are three portions, ultimately, again, when it comes to grain. What are they? Leket, Amud Beis, Leket, Shechacha, and Peah. So we'll say, again, when it comes to grain, three different matanos that are given. Leket, Shechacha, and Peah. Dichsiv, Ubekusrechem esketzir artzechem, lo sechale pa'as sodcha. Ubikutzrecha veleket kitzircha vegomer ki siktzar kitzircha basadcha veshachachta omer basada. So we'll say again, the Gemara is just going through. Bryce says in this case, just going through all the different portions that you have to go in and leave in your field. Shnayim shebeilon. Ultimately, again, there are two matanos that you have to give when it comes to trees. Hashichacha v'hapeya, which we'll say ultimately means that if you leave stuff behind on the trees, or for that matter, when you're picking stuff from the trees. Peya refers ultimately to the corner of the trees, meaning to the corner of the field of your trees. When you go ahead, Rabbi Osai, and literally sachbot, when you collect your olives, lo sefar acharecha. So you use lashon of lo sefar. What does that mean? The Tanadir Rabbi Yishmael, shalotuto sefarto mimenu. You shall not take the sefares from it. The Shabbos say means that which is left over, you must leave behind. Acharecha, from behind you. Zu ze shechecha. This ultimately refers to shechecha. The kulon, and Shabbos say in all of these cases, ein bahen tovas hana'a lebailim. So it says, it's actually very interesting. Any of the matnos aniyim, which are a function of that which is left in the field, there is no tovas hana'a. Which Shabbos say means, whenever it comes to any matnos aniyim that are left in the field for the aniyim, for the poor, you as the owner of that field, do not have the right to decide which ani it goes to. So leket, shechacha, peya, peret, ololos, anything left in the field, any ani has the right. I'm supposed to contrast that with what? With maiser ani. Right? Maiser ani is going to be different. Maiser ani, just like other trumos and maisros, I do absolutely have the right to decide which ani gets it. So you hear that distinction? We'll see why that is. Anything left in the field, right? Anything left in the field, any ani has the right to it. Anything I actively separate from my produce, I have the right to decide which one of Shabbos. By the way, I'll tell you why this is a very important ramification. We'll see this in a while. Why this is an important ramification? Shabbos says, so I have my sirksafim, right? I separate out money, right? I separate money from my bank account to give to an ani. So why can't an ani come over to me and say, hey, I know you have money in that meister account, right? Give me the money, right? I'm an ani. Shabbos says, so remember again, it's based on this idea. Anything left in the field, that is equal opportunity for all aniyim, and I do not have the right to choose which ani gets it, which ani doesn't get it. Anything I actively separate from my produce, like Meister ani, which again, Meister ksafim is in the same type of family, is that I have the right to choose which ani gets that and which ani does not. So the Gemara says, my time, why is it that when it comes to the matnos aniyim left in the field, there is no tovas hano. I don't have the right to choose which ani gets it, but any ani is permitted to take it. My taima, aziva ksivabu. Because I must say, interestingly enough, the Torah uses the lashon of what? Aziva, of leaving it alone, right? Leaving it alone. The lashon of leaving it alone means what? Well, that I have to leave it in the field and have absolutely no rights to determine who gets it and who doesn't get it. Whichever ani comes and claims that as his own, he has the right to do so. So, v'afilu ani shebi Yisrael, motzin oso miyad. And I will say, interestingly enough, even an ani shebi Yisrael, right? Even if a person himself is poor, nevertheless, he is obligated in these matnos anim of leket, shechacha, peah, peret, ololos, dechsev, beleket, kitzircha, los selakit, la'ani, v'lager tazov osam. So, I'll say, the pasuk says, beleket, kitzircha, los selakit, the leket, right, that which is ultimately, again, left behind in the field, you shall not collect. For the ani and the ger, you shall leave it. Lahas here, ani al shalom. We'll say first wide line, 131, bikof lamed aleph amid days. Comes to teach me that the ani is obligated to leave behind these matanos as well. Umayser ani hamischalik besoch habayis. Yesh, so two very, very important halachas. Number one, that when it comes to any of the portions of the poor, which are a function of things you leave behind in your field, which Rabbi Yisrael refers to leket, shechacha, peah, peret, ololos, right? Peret and ololos, that we refer to grapes, either underdeveloped grapes, or left behind clusters. Leket, shechacha, and peah refer to all types of produce in the field. The halacha is these items have no tovas hano. Therefore, again, when I leave them in my field, whoever takes it, takes it. I have absolutely no right to decide who it goes to. That's halacha one. Halacha two is that even an ani is obligated to go ahead and leave these portions in his field. First wide line. However, again, Meister ani, which refers again to the Meister I separate after my produce, I have tovas and I have to give it to a poor person, but what? I can choose who. I can choose which ani receives my meiser ani. My time, what's the reason? Interestingly enough, nesina ksiva bay. Ultimately, I will say the Torah uses a lashon of nesina. Ki sechala le'aser is called ma'aser tvascha b'shana shlish shnas ha'meiser v'nasata. I will say, hear this incredible distinction. Distinction between what? Nesina and aziva. Nesina and aziva. Nesina means I give it. So I'm giving it, Rabbi Yisrael, is a premeditated act. I could choose who I give it to. Versus aziva, which means what? I have to leave it alone. Leave it alone means I have absolutely no control, ultimately, again, who gets it. Incredible. And Rabbi Yisrael, even an ani has to give meiser ani, right? And we go ahead and we make the ani give meiser ani. Dama Rabbi Eloi, Gomar Lager Mehasam. I will say we learn out the Gzer Shav of Lager Hasan. I will say is from Leket. Ma Lahalan Musra Ani Al Shalo. Just like an Ani has to observe the halakos of Leket, Afkan Musar Ani Al Shalo. So I will say over here, the Ani is obligated ultimately again for Maisir Ani as well. Ushar Matanoskuna. I will say, and when it comes to other Quranic portions, Kigon Hazroa. Now, Now, this is very interesting. When it comes to the other matnos kuna, what's the halacha? So, interestingly enough, we don't force a kohen to give one to give another kohen matnos kuna, nor will we force a lady to give another lady matnos levia. But we make an interesting observation. Ha mi levi la kohen motzien. But I will say, what do you see from here? That you would make a levi what? You would make a levi give the matnos kuna to a kohen. What do you see from here? Alma ikru am. The Rebbe say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Levim are called am. Which Rebbe say means, in other words, of say, another way of saying that Levim are included in the obligation to go ahead and what? To go ahead and give Kohanic portions to the kohen. Rebbe say, now let's analyze this for just a moment. So remember again, what's happening over here? I know that's a question many people ask every day. Right? That's happening over here. So we'll say, so remember again, we had a statement of Rav. Right? Rav ultimately said that, Gemara said that Rav was Mesupak. Right? Remember again, this got started with the case of the Levi, right? The Levi, who was stealing Kohanic portions from the kids who were taking the Zra'a, the Lechaim, and the Keva to the Kohen. And there was this Levi who was chapping them from the kids. Rav said, is it not enough that we go ahead and we exempt the Levi from going ahead and giving matnos kuna, but now he's got to take additional matnos kuna? So I said, what does it mean it's not enough? Rav made it sound like he's doing a favor for the Levi that he's not making him give matnos kuna. So Gemara says, man of shach, either the Levi is chayiv or he's not chayiv. They both say, what does the Levi schiv and matnos kuna come down to? It comes down to one word, which is am. Is he included in am? Is he not included in am? If he's included in am, the lashon of the pasuk, then he has to give matnos kuna. And you're not doing it right. And if he's not included in am, then ultimately again he's puck, you're not doing many favors. So we'll say, so now fast forward a little bit. The Gemara seems to say that what? What did the Braises say? The Braises said that a Levi is not obligated to give unto Levi and matnos Levia. A Kohen is not obligated to give other Kohanim matnos kuna, but what can you infer from here? You could infer from here that a Levi is obligated to give a Kohen matnos kuna, which sounds like what? That a Levi is called am. If first of all, if a Levi is called am, then why is Rav exempting a Levi from giving Zeroa, Lechaim, and Keva to the Kohen? What's happening over here? To Alma, Ikru am. Kigon? We'll say, watch this. Kigon hazroa velo zroa. So we'll say, what it means is like this. So we'll say, so if you remember again, the Mishnah, Braisi is the interesting lashon of Ushar matnos kuna kigon hazroa balechayim vakeva. Other Kohanic portions, like zroa lechayim and keva, ultimately, again, we don't make a coin give a coin or a levy give a levy. So the Gemara says, it doesn't mean literally zroa lechayim and keva, rather it means like a zroa lechayim and keva. For example, umay nihu, Maiserishon. They both say, so what's the example of that? Maiserishon. They both say, now what it sounds like over here, what we're saying is that there are other things where we don't make a coin give a coin and a levy give a levy, but we would make a levy give a coin. What's an example of that? Maiserishon. Maiserishon would be something that a levy would have to give a coin. To which the Gemara says, what? Maiserishon. The levy, I will say, Maaser Rishon is a portion of the levy. That's a Levitic portion. To which the Gemara says, get ready for this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I will say, rather again, the Gemara says this is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Sanya, Truma la Kohen. I will say, Truma goes to a Kohen. This is actually an important brisa. Truma la Kohen. Maaser Rishon the levy de Rabbi Akiva. So I'll say pretty straightforward here. Truma goes to a Kohen, Maaser Rishon goes to a Levi. Good, these words are Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Af LeKohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you could even give Maaser Rishon to a Kohen as well. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Af LeKohen, LeKohen Velo LeLevi Mi Omer. See, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you could even give Maaser Rishon to a Kohen. But does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah actually mean that you would only give it to a Kohen and not to a Levi? To which the Gemara says, yes. Rabbi said, get ready for this. This is actually quite traumatic. There is a situation in which, Rabbi said, now again, remember, let's just keep clear on the progression here. Maaser Rishon is a Levitic portion. What the Gemara is suggesting over here, so step one is, well, you can even give Maaser Rishon to a Kohen. Even. Now we're taking it a step further, that maybe there's actually a leg to stand on to say you could only give Maaser Rishon to a Kohen and a Levi. The Rebbe said, where would there ever be a case where you could only give Maaser Rishon to a Kohen and not a Levi? Here we go. Lebasar dikansinhu Ezra. The Rebbe said, this was after the kenas of Ezra. After the penalty that Ezra imposed. Rebbe said, what's the penalty of Ezra? This is incredible. Take a look at the second wide line in Rashi. Lebasar dikansu Ezra biyivamis. Amru. Mipnei ma kansu levi'im b'maiser. Rebbe said, Ezra imposed the kenas, a penalty. That penalty took away Maaser Rishon from the Levium and gave it to the Kohanim. Why did Ezra penalize the Levium? Mipnei shelo alu b'mei Ezra d'chsev v'abina ba'am u'b'kohanim u'b'mei Levi lo matzi sham. Aval mikra meforsh lo matzasi shekansam aval dogma yeshadavar sham. Ezra was listening to this. This is wild. When Ezra brought the Jews back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, there were Kohanim who came, and there were Yisraelim who came, who was absolutely, absolutely absent Levium. Guys got the tshuva for this. Mamish, Levium have a lot on their shoulders, right? The Levium were absent. The Levium were mamish absent. As a result, which I will say is absolutely fascinating, that the Levium as a group were absent from the Aliyah with Ezra. So ultimately, as a result, and now, by the way, when they say they're absent, there were some Levium, but the Levium as a group were noticeably absent. As a result, Ezra penalized them, which was they lost their Maaser Rishon. And Ezra gave their Maaser Rishon to the Kohen. Se'ino Hinami says the Gemara that there is, that yes, it is a true statement to say that ultimately, again, remember again, we're just trying to read into the Braisa. Braisa said that things kigon, right? What was the Lashon? Kigon Hazra, I'm sorry. Kigon Hazra, Ushar Matnos Kuna, Kigon Hazra, Valechaim Vakeva, in Motzin Osan Lomikoin, Lokoin, Lomilevi, Levi. So I'll say, and other Matnos Kuna, like Zra and Lechaim, a coin doesn't have to give to a coin, a Levi doesn't have to give to a Levi. But we're inferring that what? That a Levi would have to give to a Kohen. So we'll say, what's that case where a Levi would have to give to a Kohen? Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon? Maaser Rishon is the portion of the Levi. After the Kenas of Ezra. After the Kenas of Ezra, a Levi would have been obligated to go ahead and give his portion of Maaser Rishon to the Kohen. But I will say, that's a case kigon. That's like a Kohanic portion. Like a Kohanic portion, but not a real Kohanic portion. To which the Gemara says, Lebasa dekansu Ezra, Ema dekansu Ezra delo yavinalu, Mishko minayu mi amar. So we'll say, so, okay, I understand that halacha lemaisa from the takana of Ezra, you don't give maisa rishon to a Levi. But I will say, if somebody were to give it to a Levi, what do we actually extract it from the Levi to give it to the Kohen? That seems a bit intense. Ela kigon zroa below zroa umayniu. So we'll say rather again, we're talking about a case that is like zroa, like matnos kuna, but not exactly like zroa. And what is that? Reishis hagaz. Rather, I will say ultimately again, what does it mean? It means the first shearings. Look at Rashi. Ela taritzachi. I will say in the fifth wide line in Rashi, towards the end of the line. Ela taritzachi kigon zroa motzia mi levi lakoin. So we'll say, what's an example of something that is like Zeroa, but not Zeroa itself, that we'd actually extract from the Levi to give to the Kohen? So the Gemara says, "My niu ki gon Zeroa reishis hagaz dehasam lo ksiv am binami lo ikra am mechayvi." So we'll say, so for example, if the Levi were to have the reishis hagaz, the first shearings, you would extract that from the Levi and ultimately give that to the Kohen. Tashma zeaklal kol davar shu b'kedusha ki gon shuma shumas meiser bechala, anything that has kedusha, like Truma, Trumas Meiser, and Chalo, Motzien Osan Miyadam. We go ahead and we extract it from them. Right? So we'll say, now what this sounds like it's saying is, we take this from the Levi and give it to the Kohen. The Chol Davar Sheina B'Kedusha, and anything that does not have Kedusha, Kegon, Hazra, Valechayim, Vakeva, Ein Motzien Osam Miyadam. So we'll say, anything that doesn't have Kedusha, like the Zroa, the Lechayim, and the Keva, we don't extract it from the Levi ultimately again and give it to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, Kigon Zroa below Zroa. It means something like the Zroa, but not the Zroa itself. What does this refer to? Maaser Rishon Ulabasar dekan sinhu Ezra. Bosei will refer to Ma'aseh Rishon, so that literally I will say, if halacha l'maisa again, if halacha l'maisa, the Levi did have the Ma'aseh Rishon, ultimately we would not go ahead and extract it from him even after the Kenas. So Mosei, after the Kenas of Ezra, what we say is that what? If you have Ma'aseh Rishon, who should you give it to? Who should you give it to? You give it to the Kohen. But if it somehow wound up in the Levi's hands, you would not go ahead and take it from the Levi to give it to the Kohen. Tashma. Sorry, Kohanim, right? You do get it, but if the Levi gets it first, you don't extract it. So Tashma, Hashochit Lekohen. Yeah, good. Hashochit Lekohen, Ovik Kohen. Well, it's another interesting case. If you shecht an animal for a Kohen or for an Akum, so Pater Minamatanos. So we'll say again, makes sense. You shecht, remember again, this is you're shechting this animal for the Kohen. Ultimately, again, or for an Akum for that matter, there is no obligation of matonos in that situation. Rashi says over here, Hashochet lekoin, lahachi nakat hashochet lekoin, daleh de tabach ramyo. But remember again, the obligation to separate out Kohanic portions is on the butcher. Right? So in this case over here, where the butcher himself is shechting for the Kohen, or in this case, shechting for an Akum, there is no obligation ultimately again for matanos. Halalevi uli Yisrael chayiv. The Rabbis say, but again, what do you see from here? If you're shechting for a Levi, there is an obligation to go ahead and what? Separate akum. You must remember again, what's driving our entire discussion over here is Rav. Rav seemingly was mesupak. Does a Levi have an obligation to give matnos kahuna or not? Zroa lechayim and keva. Rav was Mesupak. What's Rav's Safek? We'll say, what was at the root of Rav's Safek? Whether or not Levi are called what? Am. So we'll say, from here it seems to be, that if you're shechting, right, the Brisa says exclusively, if you're shechting an animal for a Levi, then what's the halacha? You are chayiv, or for Yisrael, you are chayiv. To which the Gemara says, lo tema halo Levi li Yisrael chayiv. No. Don't say, so we'll say, so remember again, what the Gemara is saying is like this. The Brisa says, if you're shechting an animal for a Kohen, or for an Akum, you are not obligated to separate out matnos kuna. The fact that I'm not obligated if I shecht for those two indicates to me what? What? That if I'm shechting for anyone else, then what? I am obligated to separate out matnos kuna. Who's everyone else? There's only a Levi Yisrael. So what the Gemara says, no. Leave out Levi. Lo tema hala Levi li Yisrael chayiv, ela ima hala Yisrael chayiv. You will say, all you need to infer from that is if you're shechting for a Yisrael, you are chayiv to go and separate that matnos kuna. Aba lelevi, my Rebbe will say, what's the halacha of shechting for a Levi? Pater. Ultimately, again, I'm pater for matnos kuna. If that's the case, then why don't you write, Hashochet lelevi leobid kochavim pater mina matanos. Rebbe will say, if that's the case, then don't phrase it as if you're shechting for a Kohen or for an Akum, but rather, again, say for a Levi and for an Akum. But say, if you tell me that for a Levi or for an Akum, you're part different matanos, then what? Certainly for a Kohen, I'll understand as well. Vaot, furthermore again, Hatanya, Hashochet lekohen ulaobed kochavim pata min amatanos. Ulalevi li Yisrael chayiv. Wow. So we'll say, furthermore, we have another explicit brisa. What does the brisa say? That if you're shechting for a Kohen or for an obed kochavim, you are potter from separating out zroa lechayim and keva. But if you're shechting for a Levi or for a Yisrael, then what? You're chayim. It was pretty explicit. To which the Gemara says, Tiyufta derav. This indeed refutes the position of Rav. Now, remember again, what it does is, Rav apparently is a suffix. To which the Gemara says, there's no suffix. A Levi is chayiv in matnos kahuna. When a Levi shechts an animal, he is chayiv ultimately again in zroa, lechayim, and keva. Rav is not done. Amr l'charav tunayi. Rav says, no, hold your horses, right? Like, the ultimately, this is a machlok yestan. We'll see whether or not the Levi is chayiv in matnos kuna, which I will say is a more fundamental issue as to whether or not the Levi is included in Am, is in machlok yestanayim. Here we go. This sanya, we learned in a braisa, the chipar asamikdash. So it's actually very interesting. So this is talking about the avoda on Yom Kippur. Now remember again, the avoda on Yom Kippur ultimately is mechaper for all different types of tumah. So the chiper as mikdash hakodesh, so what's in the Kohen will atone for the mikdash hakodesh. He will atone for the whole, for the mikdash hakodesh, for the holy temple. So it says the Gemara, what does this refer to? Zelif naiv lifim. So we'll say this refers to accidental tumah, right? Let's say if the Kohen or someone accidentally entered into the kodesh hakodeshim in a state of tumah. Oel Moed. What does it mean when it says he atones to the Oel Moed? Ze Heichal. This refers to someone who may have accidentally entered into the Heichal, to the Beis HaMikdash proper, in a state of Tumah. So I'll say, so remember, so good. Heichal, so Mizbeach Kimashmo. Mizbeach refers to if the Kohen, or for that matter, someone else, went onto the Mizbeach in a state of Tumah. Yechaper, he will atone. Eile Azoros. This refers to the courtyards. If someone accidentally entered into the courtyards in a state of Tumah, the Kohen has the ability ultimately to what? To atone for all of these things through a Zavoda. Kohanim, we'll say, here we go, this is very exciting. Kohanim, who does Kohanim refer to? Kimashmo. So we'll say the Avoda and Yom Kippur atones for any of the Kohanim who may have accidentally entered into any of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. Am HaKahal, who does that refer to? Elu Yisrael. That refers to Yisrael. Yechaper, Elu HaLevim. So we'll say Yechaper first Levim. The boss say, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? What do you see from here? That Levim are not included in the phrase of Am. Am, Hakal refers to Klal Yisrael. Levim have their own limud, right? Levim come from the extra word Yechaper. V'tanya idach, get ready for this. There's another braisa. Yechaper, Elu Avodim. The Yechaper refers to Avodim. Aye, if Yechaper refers to Avodim, then where are Levim learned out from? In this Rosh, Levim would be learned out from Am Hakal, together with Yisraelim. Wow. So we'll say, see, here you see it. Here you see it. My love, Bahakam Eflagi. Here we go. Are they not arguing about the following point? Demar Savar Ikru Am. Umar Savar Lo Ikru Am. We'll say, ultimately, again, what do you see? What's the Machlokes? We'll say, the Machlokes in the Drasha is, do you learn Levim? Do you learn Levim out from Yechaper? Or do you learn Levim out from Am? Now, we'll say, now at first glance, this might seem like a relatively unimportant, but what's the right word? Chashon, not irrelevant. Minor. Right? Thank you. Right? Minor. Minor. Come on. Right? Right? Minor machlokes. Right? Remember, the bottom line is the same, which is at the end of the day, the Avodah of Yom Kippur atones for everyone's tumah. Right? If anyone accidentally entered into any part of the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, the Avodah of Yom Kippur goes in and atones for them. Drasha number one learns out Levim from Yechaper. Drasha number two learns out Levim from Am. Okay, fine. Minor machlokes. No, it's not. Because right, Rabbi was saying, because ultimately, again, whether or not Levim are learned out from Yechaper or Am has dramatic ramifications by what? By Matnos. If you remember again, the obligation to give Kohanic portions to the Kohen devolve upon who? Anyone who is defined as Am. Anyone who is defined as Am. So if you define Levim as part of Am, their obligation is Zorah L'chaim Mekeva. If you don't define Levim as part of Am, then they're parted from Zorah L'chaim Mekeva. So Barav, so Hosei, so this, so obviously Rav will say, it's a machlokes. It's a machlokes tanoim. Barav, Yisviru Lekaitana Lema. Yisviru Lekaitana Lema. Rabbi say, so listen to this. So Rabbi say, what does the Gemara say? Rav, choose a side. Choose a side. Who do you paskin like? If you hold that Levim are called Am, then ultimately they're obligated in Matnos Kuna. If you hold that Levim are not included in Am, then they're not obligated in Matnos Kuna. Tell us who you hold like. To which the Gemara says, Misapkilei. The truth is, Rav is Misupak. He's just not sure. Ika haitana, ika haitana. Ultimately, Rabbi Osai, Rav was Mesupak. Rav was not sure. And that's why Rabbi Osai, when you had that fiendish Levi, right, who was stealing the Matnos Kuna from the kids, so Rav used this very interesting Lashon. It's not enough that we exempt him from giving Matnos Kuna, but he's got to steal the Matnos Kuna as well. So he used that Lashon, interesting Lashon of, we exempt him. We exempt him, Rabbi Osai, means what? That we're not sure what the halacha is. So misafek, we tell him he doesn't have to give Matnos Kuna. But in reality, we're not exactly sure. Do we paskin that he is part of Am, not part of Rabbi Osai? And we conclude. Dara, Tana, Darash, Mereimar, Hilchasa, Kavosei, Dirav. Rabbi Osai, halacha is like Rab. Namely, that we do not go ahead and take Zroa, Lechaim, and Keva from a coin. Rabbi Osai, but understand, when we say, isn't that interesting? Hilchasa kavasei derab, that what? That it's a suffix. Right? Hilchas HaKavah Seidra, that it's a Safek. And from the Safek, we do not extract Zroa, Lechaim, and Keva from a Levi. Furthermore, again, I will say, the Hilchas HaKavah Seidra Rav Chista. And I will say, ultimately, the Halacha follows Rav Chista. That was on the top of Kuf Lamin Amud Beis, which said that what? Hamazik Matnos Kuhuna. If you go ahead and you damage Matnos Kuhuna before you give it to the Kohen, or you eat Matnos Kuhuna before you give it to the Kohen, Patar Mila Shalim. Ultimately, again, you do not have to go ahead and pay. Now, I will say, now the logic for Rav Chista's statement, whether or not it's because, ultimately, again, it says, Zeh, that there's only an obligation to give it to the Kohen when it's existence, or it's Mamon She'ein Lo Tovin, that's still a machlokes. But I will say, bottom line, two important pieces of halacha. If you're a Levi, it is a good day for you, right? Because Levim do not have to give Zroa, Lechayim, and Keba. Apparently, Misavik, we paskin like Rav, and we paskin like Rav Chista, namely that if you damage Matnos Kuhuna, you are not obligated to make restitution. We'll stop over here for today. We'll say, if anyone would like to do Mechiras Chametz, the forms are right on the back table over there, together with a pen.